The Punt, William Hill's Top Flight Football Podcast.
Yes, hello everybody. We're back for a look at the Premier League and it started already before we've even begun recording. Robbie Savage, Ron Atkinson and Derek McGovern all on the line to chat through these 10 fixtures. You all well?
Yes,
thank
you. Excellent. Let's get straight into it and pick up where we've just left off. Manchester United versus Aston Villa is the first game of the Premier League weekend at 12:45. Man United are 4-9, 16-5 the draw and 7-1 for Aston Villa. Fair enough, they are generally Man United's bunnies, Aston Villa, but things have changed, obviously. What I'm referring to is a lively debate we've just started. Robbie, your Daily Mirror column is about basically the Manchester United job being too big for David Moyes. You feel that he looks like a dead man walking, basically.
Well, I was at the two home games in the Premier League against Liverpool and City, and I've got to say, tactically against City, I just didn't get the starting lineup too fast. Wrong place, wrong time. You know the Roy Hodgson analogy, where Liverpool job was at the time it wasn't the right fit. And I think the thing with Moyes, he doesn't look well. He looks like frightened to death, do you know what I mean? And I don't think he can be his own person at United. I think it's a completely different job from Everton, obviously. The way they performed against City, not just the way they performed, but surely everybody can say that, you know, why did Cleverley start? Why was Flair in the left? And why was Matter on the right from the start? Everybody can say, except for David Moyes. I think that is the point where I backed him and backed him and backed him. I know him. It's come to a time now where would you give David Moyes 200 million quid to spend in the summer?
Ron, would you give him that money? If you were above David Moyes and you were the guy holding the purse strings, would you give him that sort of money to spend?
I'll tell you what I said, and said some time ago, a few weeks ago actually. Most people are riled at this suggestion. I think they've got to get Fergie involved. They've got to get Fergie to start getting involved with the transfers in conjunction with an inexperienced chief executive. I think Fergie could still pull the big players to Manchester United. Now, the problem David might have is the fact that I always thought he did great at Everton, where he found the Cahills and he found the Jagielkas and he scouted the Lescotts and people like that and the left-back Baines, and he pulled some plums out who could afford to have, not the greatest games week in and week out, but wouldn't get criticised.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
Full marks to him on that. But now he's in the next league where he's got to sign players that Man City will try and buy, Chelsea will try and buy, they'll be in for the same players. You know, I think that's where Fergie's experience comes in. I really do. You know, he's a director. He's getting a very good salary from the club as an ambassador. I think they've got to use his know-how and his name to pull players in there. All right, David Moyes in conjunction with scouts and all, they've got to nominate the players. But I think Fergie should get involved in bringing the players to the club.
No. Would he do that, Ron, though? Because right now,
Derek, I'm talking hypotheticals. And no, full well, he doesn't want to get that Samat thing. You know the thing they always say about Samat? Yeah. He doesn't want to get that. But I think somebody, it might even be the manager. If I was manager of Manchester United now, having as bad a time as they are having, I'd get Fergie involved. I would. I wouldn't. He's got knowledge. He's got know-how. He's got experience. I wouldn't toss that away. I'd say I'm in trouble. What can I do? Can you help me? Can you help me get them in? I think he's got to do that. I think on his own, because if you look, even if you look at his squad around him, his technical squad. You know, there's no standout bloke in there. I don't think there's anybody in there that would stand up to him and say, "Hey, Gaffer, I'm sorry, but you're doing that wrong."
Well, Ron, I think there are, and then he's riding roughshod over them. Did you not think the appearance in midweek on the telly of Paul Scholes, whose publicity shine never goes on telly, and all of a sudden he's in a high-profile Manchester derby and really putting the knife into United?
It did seem strange, didn't it?
Paul Scholes isn't part of his technical squad.
No, but Ryan Giggs is, and he's his best mate, and Ryan Giggs seems to be frozen out. This stinks to me of Giggs saying to Scholes, get on there and put the boot in.
Well, Let me tell you, and Robbie would know better than me on this one. I'm told if you're a betting man, the so-called talk, isn't it, is of Giggs and Neville.
Yeah.
Now, if Giggs and Neville come back into the frame, then Alex has got to get involved.
Yeah.
But you just prefaced that sentence, Ron, by saying it sounds like you'd heard something, you know, if you were a betting man.
Well, that's what I said to Robbie. I asked Robbie. Robbie will know better than me. He's closer to that than me. Ask him. He will know.
What?
whether Giggs and Neville, whether, I'm told without a shadow of doubt, if David Moyes goes, Giggs is the next manager.
I reckon that would be perfect, yeah. I do. I reckon that would be, I reckon that is what people would want, yeah.
Well, hold on a second. You give, United are getting stick and Fergie's getting stick for giving it to Moyes, who's got no track record apart from keeping Everton out of Europe. So now you're going to give it to Giggs, who's got absolutely got even less of a track record. This is a giant club.
You'd have to wonder why he hasn't had more influence this season if he's the kind of chosen one.
Has he been allowed to?
Well, that's a good point.
Yeah. Robbie's just said it. Has he been allowed to? Yeah. I mean, it might well be. You say, this is a funny old thing.
Well, if he hasn't been allowed to, then that's Moyes.
I think a lot of managers are insecure in this respect. They won't take help from people who could realistically give it.
Yeah.
And well, I look at the case there, and David Moyes to me seems, I know he's got all these Phil Neville's involved and Round and Woodsy and people like that, but he looks to me as if he's standing as a man alone.
When he has to do that walk... being beaten 3-0 by Liverpool, after being beaten easily by City, that must take him about an hour in his head, that walk back to the tunnel.
And by the way, he's always on his own, isn't he?
Yeah, he is. Always on his own. He looks absolutely lost.
Now, whether that's by his own volition or what, but sometimes he's got to pull the people around and say, look, hey, we're all in this together. No, I'm not talking players now, I'm talking technical squad. And we've got to be so strong, and we've got to be opinionated, and we've got to do this.
The game, Man United versus Aston Villa. I gave the odds. If you're Aston Villa boss here, Ron, you can't wait to get to Old Trafford, can you?
Well,
you'd be flying out of blocks at them, wouldn't you?
You know, I'm looking for snookers. Well, that might be one of them.
it's a big price, 7-1 against a team who. Yeah. Well, if you flip it round the other way, Derek, 4-9 is unbackable.
I thought it might be more than that. To be fair, I was rather hoping for a bit of tens.
Yeah. I think 7-1 is a fair price.
Well, Ron, you could. I mean, to be fair, you could go for the both teams to score and the team to win. That is 10-1. Aston Villa to win, but both teams scoring is 10-1.
The daft thing is, haven't United got the best away record in the league?
With Tottenham, they've won as many games as Tottenham 9. Yeah.
It's amazing.
All right, they got a draw at Arsenal, didn't they? They haven't really gone head to head with any of the biggies and done it, but it's a bit strange.
Yeah, and they look at the home form.
Goals. At home, they look as if they're, and it's that old word again, they look confidence shattered.
Yeah, yeah.
They look two words.
They look frightened to play.
It would hyphenate everything.
And the other one gets away. All right, Fellaini, Mata taking all the stick. Where's Carrick gone in the last few weeks?
On his holidays.
Well, no one's putting their hand up really, apart from Rooney, are they? To be fair, not many of the players are putting their hand up and being counted. What about this one then, Ron? Can Villa go there and get something?
Yeah, if they're both even money, I'd be saying United will win it.
Mm-hmm.
But the odds are tempting to go for Villa.
Derek?
Well, I think Villa are at a great price. I mean, they've got a poor record at Old
Very
Trafford.
Poor, yeah.
But they are, I keep saying, they're better away from home, Villa. They'll have looked at United. Basically, it boils down to this. Would you put a red cent on United at 4-9? And the answer, anyone with a half a morsel of brain would say no. And Villa thrive away from home. And they've got a strike force that could tear United's confidence shattered defence to shreds. The thing about United, they'll have all the play. They're going to be dead nervous. The fans are going to get on the back if they don't get a goal early. We've got this plane with the banner Moyes out going across the stadium. I mean, you can imagine what the atmosphere is going to be like if it's still 0-0 or they're 1-0 down after 20 minutes. I think Villa, United are there for the taking, and Villa are the kind of side away from home that can take them. I think 7-1 is a very fair price.
Yeah. Robbie, Man United, Villa, I guess if Villa get an early goal, Robbie, then it will be a nervous place.
I think both teams have scored a great bet, you know. And the thing that really, really up my eye is the tactical, awareness. And I think Rodgers and Mourinho are the two best in the Premier League for tactics. When Raphael leaves massive holes behind him, and so does Evra, they've only got one half-quick centre-half. That's what the big problems are.
So Agbonlahor and Weimann either side.
So I think the what?
With Agbonlahor and Weimann either
side. Well, Agbonlahor, if it's all bright and he's got pace, Benteke's got pace. So I think that, and Delph can burst from midfield. So I think they'll definitely score. But so both teams to score. Both teams to score would be my bet.
Yeah. What about a result, Robbie? Do you think they can? Don't want to be pushed on that, or?
Yeah. I think it's a flick of a coin. Really, really do.
Yeah, so in that case, then you have to go for the 7-1, don't you?
Yeah,
you think it's
a flick of the coin.
I mean, even the draw 16-5, the draw on both teams to score is 9-2. There's a few different bets. I mean, you look at the goal scorer prices. Benteke 9-4, Agbonlahor 100-30, Weimann 7-2, Old Brighton 6-1. United have got a tremendous record, and Rooney has as well. Just to put a bit of context into this, Rooney has scored 10 times against Villa. That's his joint highest haul against any opponent in the competition, and he's scored four in his last five Premier League appearances. So wouldn't be a big surprise if Rooney got on the score sheet, but he is 8-13 to do so. Rooney
looked a good price.
What was that
one? The score draw.
Yeah, 9-2.
That looked a good price.
Yeah, 1-1 is 8-1. 2-2, 20-1. By the way, but yeah, what a start to the Premier League weekend. The TV game on Saturday night is decent as well. Arsenal versus Manchester City, 11-4 for Arsenal, 21-10 the draw, and 11-10 the price for Manchester City. Wenger's second millennium of games started by further exposing Arsenal's lack of strength and character. Really, you know, when you're leading against Swansea, who are fighting for relegation, Ron, you really expect them to go and, you know, get the extra goal, put it to bed and see the game out, don't you? Not capitulate and let in a daft own goal.
Well, I mean, hey, by the way, when they were chasing the game, they looked at, it's one of them where you thought, oh, no, they're not going to get anything out of the game. Mm-hmm. I know it's a comedy of errors at the end that got Swansea in, and then that last kick incident when the ref blew for time. I didn't think it was a clear-cut chance, by the way. I did think the fella had got plenty to do.
Yes,
he was only just over the centre circle at the time with a few round him. Once again, I'm not totally convinced about Man City as everybody else is, but when the great players play well, i.e. Silva and then Turi as well, they are. I still think without your man up top,
yeah, he's still missing
Aguero. I still think they're not quite the article there, but. Can you make a case? Why? I missed that. Why didn't the centre half play the other night? What's his name?
Kashelmi.
He's injured. Is he injured for this? And what price is City to win away?
11-10. So not too dissimilar a price to when they went to Man United. It was 6-5.
6-5. That shows you what a price 6-5 was. Wasn't
yeah,
it,
you
really?
Liked that a lot, didn't you?
Yeah.
And what's the draw price?
The draw is priced up at 21-10. I mean, Arsenal have drawn 0-0 with Chelsea, 0-0 with Man United. I'm not sure you could put those in the same bracket at home this season already. Yeah, you know, that's when they've managed to keep the best teams, well, some of the best teams.
Matches,
and beat Liverpool 2-1 at home, remember, as well. Drew 1-1 with Everton.
Yeah,
beat Tottenham 2-0.
What's the best price for the match?
Arsenal, 11-4.
Well, I'll show a bit of faith in Arsenal then. Because I'm still not totally convinced about that. There's something not quite right to stop Man City being absolutely runaway champions. Can't put my finger, and I don't know whether sometimes they get a bit blasé or something like that. I don't know. Mm. Obviously, when the great players play well, Silva and as I said, Touré, then they are a force. Oh, by the way, I tell you, we'd forgotten the other. I'd forgotten all about him. What a player he is, isn't he, Fernandinho?
Yeah.
I'd forgotten all about him, and then I thought, well, where's he been the last few weeks?
Yeah. Mm. Yeah. I think he's been playing, actually, hasn't he? I think he's a bit of an unsung hero, isn't
he? Yeah. They've been bringing in that, what's his name, Garcia, isn't it?
Yeah, it just showed up, the kind of lack of strength in
depth. I'm going to nail my flag.
To Arsenal.
I'm going to get slaughtered for it, I know. And they're not going to be my bet of the week. Bet of the week with my mate is I have Man City.
Robbie, Arsenal at home to Manchester City.
The way City started the other night was sensational. I think, though, you know, Paul Scholes' damning version of Arsenal was one for, you know, doesn't speak much scores, but he does, people listen.
Derek, you must have loved the critique of Wilshere, didn't you, Derek?
Well, it was music to my lug over. Everything I've been saying, he repeated. He's been listening to me.
I think they've got to make sure they finish in the top four. They've got to go to Everton as well. Everton on a bit of form. And I think for Wenger, he has to win the FA Cup. I think if he doesn't win the FA Cup, it could be curtains. I really do, because the fans, they made a mistake against Birmingham. They have to win the FA Cup, especially with who's left in it. I don't think they'll win this game. I think City will go there and win. I really think they will. They were just... Now, Jekyll looks like a new player.
Mm.
Fernandinho and Torre in there. Silva. Nasri looks, you know, reinvigorated. I'll tell you what, Di Michelis with time on the ball, he's decent. You know, I wouldn't like to, you know, there was one point where Welbeck running behind him, he left him. But Giroud's not going to do that, is he? So I think Di Michelis will have a good game because he's not going to get running behind. So that's why I think City win, because Arsenal have got nobody to go beyond, and that's the biggest thing. They're all the same, all nice, no pace in the team. If they finish fourth, it's a success. Win the FA Cup, he needs to do that. I think City will go there and win.
And they need to win the FA Cup, Derek, because I think then they'll probably dump Man United in the Europa League then, wouldn't they?
When you
pair up the two midfields between Arsenal and Man City, there doesn't look any competition, really, does it, in terms of strength and ability to go forward and get back and cover the ground? They look like Man City just look to be getting into that strong phase again, don't they?
Well, yeah, they're a much better team than Arsenal. There's no competition. It's not just the midfield, ladies. Any part of the pitch, you know, you can't compare Arsenal to City. The interesting thing is that there's two goals City scored at Arsenal last season. They won 2-0. They were the first two goals they'd scored there in six seasons.
Yeah, very low-scoring games generally between these two.
Amazingly. A couple of 0-0s and a 1-0 just before that one. But City will win this. They were 6-5 to beat Man United, and they were almost my bet of the season. And I can't, you know, okay, it's a bit of a shame. You'd expect them to be a little bit bigger to beat Arsenal, given that Arsenal are way above United. But they, like United, Gunners are there for the taking, and City will turn up and win and do a professional job and win probably to nil, because they just can't see Arsenal score and pass them.
Red cards are pretty common in this match, by the way. I think it's one of the headline offers. It's 4-1 for there to be a red card. There have been 6 in the last 7 Premier League matches between Man City and Arsenal. 4 for City, 2 for Arsenal. 5 have come in the last 3 meetings at the Emirates. Mike Dean's in charge, and his recent record he showed a red in the West Ham Hull City game, the last Premier League game he reffed. He showed 8 yellow cards in the Tottenham Arsenal match. He showed a red card in the previous Premier League match he reffed in Swansea Palace, and showed 5 yellows as well. 6 yellows in the West Brom Fulham game. I could go on, but you get the gist. He brandishes his cards around, so maybe not the red card, but overs on the bookings points might be worth a look here.
Red card to be 4-1, isn't that normally a 5-2 poke?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I think it's an awful price usually, Derek, for a red card in
a match. Yeah, well, it is. Before, that's fair, given the background to what you've just read there.
Yeah. I mean, it's a nice offer, isn't it?
Yeah.
The bookings points are under, can have overs and unders on how many bookings points will be. Over 65 points, bearing in mind it's 10 for a yellow and 25 for a red, is 2-1. So they've kind of got the handle on that. But over 55 at 23-20 might be worth a little look. Sunday, let's have a look at the Fulham-Everton game. 1:30, 4-1 Fulham, 21-10 the draw, and Everton are 5-6. Everton does seem to have kicked back into gear, Derek. We thought they were on the wane, but I mean, boy, has he got them going, and he keeps them going. Fulham just look doomed. I mean, we've been saying it for a few weeks. I mean, I think people were trying to give him a little bit of hope, but they're not doing it, are they? The 5-0 defeat to City, you know, maybe expected, but it was poor.
You know, they've been getting pasted most of the time. Everton were fantastic against Newcastle in midweek. The highlights in it after the Derby game, and then one or two people I spoke to who were at the game said they were sensational. Can't see why they won't go to Fulham and win. You know, it's just, they've only done it once, I think, in the last 6 seasons, but this is a different Everton side now. They're full of goals, and Fulham look doomed, you're right. I think it's a nailed-on Everton win.
Robbie, any change to that, Fulham-Everton?
No, I'll go with Everton win. In fact, I don't think Fulham will score.
Lukaku back scoring again, Ron. Barkley breaking from midfield. Lukaku's got 3 in his last 4 Premier League games. No reason not to back him to score, is there, really?
No, I would think Everton to win. I'm surprised. I actually thought Everton maybe had a better track record at Fulham. I can remember them going twice with Moisey, and I thought they won them both 2-1. But
they've won twice in the last 6 seasons. Yeah.
But that'd be with Moisey, wouldn't it?
The Messiah. Yeah. Chosen one, sorry.
Yeah. Definitely Everton.
Yeah, Lukaku to score and Everton to win 2-1. That might get a bit of money from punters. He's even money just to score in the match. And the Opta stat is Everton to score 3 or more second half goals. That's because they've got the highest percentage of second half goals in the Premier League. 70% of their goals come in the second 45. 14-1 for them to score 3 or more, which is it.
These knocked them out of the League Cup, didn't they?
Yeah, they did. They did, yeah.
And they were leading that.
Yeah,
crazy enough.
Yeah.
They got back 2-1, didn't they?
That's right, yeah. But haven't beat them 4-1 at Goodison in December. Yeah.
Liverpool v Tottenham at 4 o'clock on Sunday afternoon. It's 2-1 on the price for Liverpool at home. The draw is 3-1 and Tottenham are priced up at 6-1. First sign of a few jittery nerves for Liverpool at Anfield midweek, but they got through it, and it was a... it was like rolling back the years at Anfield, by all accounts, the atmosphere and the way the fans took to it. But maybe the pressure just starts to get heaped on a little bit. Tottenham go there without too much pressure on their shoulders, I guess. But they are chasing Everton hard, just a point behind Everton, but they've played a game more chasing that that fifth spot for Europa League. And obviously, if they can claw back Arsenal, then all the better. Where are Tottenham in your eyes at the minute, Ron? Are they coming back into any kind of form for you? The 3-2 win over Southampton.
Yeah, well, that was massive for them because if they hadn't won that, I think the bottom would have fallen completely out of their season. Where are they? I think you've got to look at what the team uses because defensively, I don't fancy them at all. I don't particularly fancy them when they've got the strongest lineup, but when they've got makeshift players in there, I think they're even worse. So I'd be guided a little bit by that, but I can't see any of the result. Liverpool are flying. Robbie's talked about tactics and things like that that they employ, but I have to say, if you've got a fella, every time I look at them now, I just see two players. I know they got loads of players playing above the ground. Henderson's playing excellent. I thought Coutinho the other night was brilliant. But I have to say, every time you look at me, I look at Gerrard and I look at Suarez. And I think if them two are on fire, you can beat anybody.
Smash 5-0 at home by these as well.
That was the last
result of Andre Villas-Boas management, Raymond, I think. I'm right in saying. Yeah. This has seen more own goals and more penalties than in any other Premier League fixture, this one. Usually some action going on, Derek.
Yeah, well, likely to be this week as well. I mean, I think... Tottenham at 6-1. I think that's a massive price, you know. I was at the Liverpool game in midweek, and Ron goes on about Suarez, and he's been sensational, but he was really off the pace the other night, Ron. Gerrard was great, but Suarez was poor.
One-off game.
Yeah, he's forgiven for that, definitely. But Tottenham at 6-1.
I think he was poor by comparison of how he has played.
Oh, his touch wasn't there, Ron.
Tell you what, the defenders were terrified of him every time he got the ball.
Yeah, and they had enough defenders out Sunderland. the atmosphere was great, Lee, because it was Liverpool's first home game for about a month.
It was actually a big
concerted effort by the fans. You know, before the game and the coach turns up, you know, there was masses outside ready to cheer the coach in because they'd been playing so well. You might not see the same because he was all very, very nervous on Wednesday night. Really nervous, you know, when Sunderland got that goal back. And I've got a feeling, you know, this is Liverpool's best chance of the title for centuries, it seems. And I think their nerves are going to play a part, you know, I really do. If it's 0-0 or, you know, even worse, 1-0 down late on, I was worried by what I saw in midweek, you know. And I think Tottenham are too good a side here to go on back at 6-1.
Yeah, it's a very big price, even in the face of all those goal stats. Robbie, would the price on Tottenham tempt you at 6-1?
No. I think it was a nervous performance in Liverpool the other night, but they got the job done. It's all about getting results now. What a chance they've got, man. What a chance.
If they win those two games, they've got to win it, haven't they?
If they win them two games, they'll win the league. Don't you worry about that. That's not an argument.
Better the nerves coming now, I guess, Robbie, than right near the end of the season. You know, if they can shake that off. And Tottenham coming to town is probably better for them, isn't it, Robbie?
Well, unbelievably, I've never been in that position with 8 games left going for the league. Well, to be fair, I don't think Ron has either.
I've never been
with 42 games left.
I'm going to go to Liverpool. Both teams just go. Liverpool win.
Do you know what? I can take that from idiots. it's when experts say if you win the next three games, you're champions. There you go on.
Sunderland versus West Ham on Monday night is a final TV game. 13-10, the Black Cats. The Hammers are 23-10. The draw is 21-10. Derek, I'll come to you first because I know you've got a vested interest in Sunderland capitulating. A point off the bottom. You've backed them to finish bottom. Those games in hand look a little bit like an albatross around the neck at the moment.
Well, they ain't going to win a game, look, from what I saw them on Wednesday. I know they only got beat 2-1 and Poirier was pleased with his men, you know, a defensive resilience, etc. But they offered absolutely nothing. I know they could have grabbed an equaliser late on. God knows how that happened. They were so poor, it was untrue. Now, you know what my feelings are about West Ham. But, you know, under Hippo Head, they're getting the job done when they need to. And you know, my worry here is that they don't need a win. You know, that victory in midweek has put them almost safe. Another couple of points and they'll probably be all right. So I've got a feeling Hippo Head will go out for a draw here and Sunderland ain't good enough to break them down. So and share of the spoils, 21-10.
Ron, ever been booed for winning a game?
Never been booed.
I'm sure Ron has been booed after winning a game.
Not even when singing.
I'll let you out. I mean, you got a feel for him, though, haven't you? I mean, he looked. He said at half time they were talking more about the fans booing them than they were about the game. And then at full time, he looked round. I mean, incredulous, wasn't he, at the crowd? Well, I don't know. I don't understand.
I don't understand what incredulous is. Yeah. Sam's used to think it was the club song at Newcastle. I can see where Derek's come from in a draw, but at some given time, surely Sunderland. I actually thought what I saw on the television, I thought Sunderland played a bit better than you give them credit for. I mean, they set up with three centre halves, which is that. I think more teams should do that, by the way. But they pushed the fullbacks on, didn't they? I mean, that Bardsley gets more shots at goal than anybody else in the team, doesn't he? He seems to be thrusting forward. And particularly when the two subs came on, I thought they looked all right.
The sub made a key, was he? Made a bit of a difference. But when I was watching the game and I thought, these aren't going to score in a month of Sundays. He's just never looked
right. No, well, I mean, I'll qualify that by saying one thing. I think the centre-forward's a coach driver.
Or just the full. I mean, the fact that they've recalled Conor Wickham from Leeds United, and he was poor there by all accounts. Wickham, Altidore. I mean,
Barini can come back in.
They're not going to give you the goals you need, though, are they? And Johnson's goals have dried up, run, haven't they?
I think that. Yeah, but I think somehow or other, I know they'll play. Sam will play very, very tight there, obviously. But I just got a feeling that Sunderland might just nick something out of it. They're due something. The law of averages said they must win a game. And I think this might be one. They might just get an odd goal victory.
Yeah. Andy Carroll and Kevin Nolan are like going up to Sunderland, won't they, Robbie? Could be quite a feisty game, this. I think Sunderland have had a few disciplinary problems this season, picked up the most red cards this season and scored the most own goals, by the way, Sunderland. 5 and 7, respectively, there. What do you think to this one, Robbie? Sunderland
must win for Sunderland. I tipped Norwich to go. I tipped Sunderland before the start of the season, but then I changed Norwich after Poirier started on that run. You know, you should never change, should you? Must win for Sunderland. I think if they lose it, they could be down. I really do. I thought they'd buy, and we're wrong. I thought they played the right at Liverpool, to be fair. I think Sunderland might just nick it.
If they do, it might come from a set piece, by the way. Sunderland have netted a higher percentage of goals from set pieces than any other team in the Premier League, 48%, and only Everton have conceded more goals from set pieces than West Ham, 39%. On to the non-TV games. Let's start with Andre Mariner's game. Southampton v Newcastle, that's what all the chat's about, isn't it? 3-4 the Saints, 9-4 the draw. Newcastle priced up at 9-2. Few people might be looking at the cards as well, because he does brandish a few. He might be a little bit nervy doing this one, Derek.
Did you see the sensation in the Oscar Pistorius case?
No, go on.
He got off with a kid and Gibbs got found guilty. I have to say, I mean, that was the worst decision of all time, wasn't it, by him last week. And Robbie pointed out, was something that's never been said in the papers all week, and Robbie was dead right, he said it in his Mirror column today. Why did Kieran Gibbs just walk off?
Yeah.
As though a sort of them's the breaks kind of attitude. I mean, you'd have been screaming blue murder, wouldn't you?
Yeah, I would have sat on the pitch there. I wouldn't have gone off.
It's a strange one, wasn't it? It was just strange all told, wasn't it? I mean, I don't know why. God knows why he didn't change it.
This is the ultimate end of season game, isn't it?
It does look like that.
I mean, Newcastle looked as though he packed in down tools last week against Everton, in midweek against Everton. And Southampton, Ron's got this theory that the England players will keep them going because they want to get in the World Cup squad. And it's a persuasive theory. And looking at the results, that you might well be right. Certainly, you'd say, I always say, when it's two teams with nothing to play for, always back the home team. And that ain't going to change this week. I think Southampton are set.
I suppose, you are looking at that, Robbie. You're looking at what desire there is from each team. Newcastle looked, bereft of desire, really, at home against Everton. And Southampton have got those England players. And they probably want to get in the Europa League more than Newcastle will. The higher they get up the table, the more chance they've got if Arsenal win the Cup and et cetera, et cetera. And City have obviously won the Capital One Cup, haven't they? So that's another place available. If Arsenal win the FA Cup, there's another Europa League place available. So Southampton could feasibly get into the Europa League.
Southampton, Uli?
It's Southampton at home to Newcastle.
Yeah, I think Southampton will win. Newcastle at home against Everton 3-0. Everton played well, but you can't allow Ross Barkley to run from inside his own half without a challenge and score like nearly in the 6-yard box. That is horrendous team play. So I think Newcastle, I think Lallana, Rodriguez, Lambert will pose too much of a threat, and I'm going to go with it. Southampton to win 2-0.
I'll find out the price for that. No Remy still, Ron, we're told. So, I mean, yeah. It's a big out, isn't it, for Newcastle?
It is a big out, yeah. No, yeah, I can't make any case against Southampton at all.
I think this must be the last manager.
They score every time. They always score, don't they?
Yeah.
So, you know, you've got that in your locker, and any team that can score, and they seem as if they can get a couple in most games anyway.
Yeah. Yeah. Only against Chelsea and Liverpool in recent times have they failed to score at home. Yeah. So
I can't make a case, any other case than Southampton.
Yeah.
Southampton, it's you know, it's all theirs.
9-5, Robbie, for Southampton to win 2-0.
Yeah, I agree with that.
Yeah. And all the goal scorers, incidentally, are odds against, which I don't really understand. Lambert, Rodriguez, Lallana, all the ones who've been scoring goals are 6-5 or bigger. And obviously, you know, nearly 3-1 on the Newcastle side. Next up, Stoke versus Hull, 5-4 Stoke. The draw is 21-10, and the price for Hull City is 12-5. Hull are 13th with 33 points, Stoke are 10th with 37. Probably are there, Stoke, already, aren't they, Robbie? And well done to Mark Hughes for getting them there.
Brilliant.
At times they thought they were going to struggle this season. Hull could be on the proverbial glass mountain, as Ron.
Well, yeah, as well. A big blow for them losing their goalkeeper. You know, to a quite a bad injury, I believe, his kidney.
Bad, didn't it?
So he hope he gets well, but I think Stoke will score. I think Stoke's home form's terrific, and I think they'll win this.
Yeah, Steve Harper comes into net, Derek, for McGregor, who's actually banned and injured. Talk about adding insult to injury. Not one to get excited about, but
no.
Hull could do with a point here, couldn't they?
Yeah,
you wonder if now Stoke are over the line, they might just ease off a little.
Well,
bit,
that's
maybe?
A worry. That's
maybe.
A worry. You know, I would fancy Stoke, you know, top of the head. I'd say yes, Stoke, but. Yeah, a point will do them, and a point will do Hull. And, you know, are still really that worried now after the win against Villa. Yeah, tough one to call this, but punters, I go for the draw.
Ron, Stoke v Hull?
Stoke, definitely Stoke. I mean, talking to people, that I don't know if you saw the game last week or whatever they're in, they were excellent against Villa. Tremendous, you know.
Yeah.
And they have some form, haven't they? You know, they want to take that spark. You want to take that momentum through to the end of the season. As you say, Hull will start to now. All right, if they'll think they can win another couple of home games, but they'll start looking semi-final wise. I think.
Yeah.
As you say, a blow with the goalkeeper. I actually thought when they went down to 10 men the other night, when they were a man, I thought they played quite well. Well,
they
I saw against West Ham actually.
Yeah.
I thought they played some good stuff, and West Ham were maybe a touch fortunate to survive. But on this, I think Stoke's motivation will be far higher.
Right. Yeah.
And he'll want to see the season through now on a high.
Yeah, fair dues. Do concede goals at home, and Jelovic has been indecent, Nick. Scored 4 in his last 3 Premier League appearances for Hull away from home, Nikita Jelovic. So may well be worth a look at him grabbing a goal because they're a bit bigger price. The prices away from home are decent. He's priced up at 2-1 just to score in the match. Next up, Swansea Norwich, 3-4 Swansea, 9-4 the draw. Norwich are priced up at 9-2. Norwich 14th with 32 points. Swansea are just 2 points below them on 30 points, having played the same amount of games. These are two teams who haven't got any games in hand, have played 2 more than Sunderland and 1 more than West Brom and Crystal Palace. Both these teams need to pick something up from this run.
Yeah. Didn't they go there and get a big result, Norwich, in the last year? Was it last year, the year before?
Yeah, Norwich have won the last 2 seasons.
Didn't they win
4-3,
yeah. I actually think they'll go there and, you know, a draw would be a great result for them. Because it would keep keep Swansea at bay. I'd see Norwich going there, getting a draw.
Yeah.
I know the away record isn't great, but I think this is one where they could go and put the shutters up.
Yeah, Michu's got a good record against Norwich. I think he scored 3 goals in 3 games against them, and he'll start
he play,
this one.
Did he play against Arsenal the other night?
Yeah, he did. Yeah, he came in for Michu. Yeah.
Derek, which way does this go for you?
Well, I think Norwich are overpriced there at 9-2. Every time Swansea are at home, they always seem to be odds on, and yet they never win. They've only won 4 games at home all season. They're massively overrated by the bookies. 9-2 is big for Norwich. What worries me is what Ron's just said. Will they see a point as a good result, keeping Swansea at arm's length and a few other teams that probably won't pick up points below them? Oh, sorry, I'm going to go for Norwich. I think they're too big here, 9-2. Great result for them last week as well.
Robbie, which way do you go with this one? They tried Almander and Van Wolfswinkel up front last time out. They need some goals from somewhere, Norwich, don't they?
Oh, well, great point for Swansea in midweek, although fortuitous equaliser, but Gary Monk needed that, definitely. I think it's a must-win game for Gary Monk too. Norwich just starting to pull clear a little bit. Best price, what's the best price to draw?
The best
Norwich
price
Norwich,
is
9-2.
I can't see them going there and winning though. I'll go with the draw.
Yeah, 9-4.
Interesting one would be Norwich and the draw, 23-20, on the basis that Swansea are opposable at odds on.
Yeah.
So if you're going to play safe, but I think 9-2 Norwich is worth a squeeze.
What's 1-1?
13-2. Yeah, you can see that, couldn't you?
Yeah.
Snodgrass has scored in both Premier League games for Norwich against Swansea last season, also assisted 2 goals for Norwich. He's 5-1 to score.
Season, by the way, because every time he seems to score a load of goals. He's probably got about 8 or something.
He's got 5.
I'm going to say.
In the Premier League, that is. 5 in the Premier League. So he might have a couple more in cup competitions. But he does pop up, doesn't he? He's a handy player. West Brom Cardiff, 17-20 the Baggies, 23-10 the draw, 7-2 Cardiff. Very hard to put up an argument for backing West Brom at home at odds on, Ron, isn't it? I mean, I know they're in all sorts of bother. The manager's a favourite to get the sack before the end of the season. They're on 3 points above Sunderland and Cardiff. God, who's playing better out of these two, Ron? West Brom, Cardiff.
To me, and I can't remember the last time I backed Albion to get anything, but I've got to take him to win this. He kept beating this, then I'll tell you what.
Yeah.
They'll be chanting in Smethwick. I'm going to go. I can't see any. I mean, Cardiff are ordinary, aren't they? Well, since the change of manager. You know, my take, if they hadn't changed the manager, I don't think they'd have been in the bottom three now, but they haven't. And, that confidence thing, they can't. Has he won one game since he's been there?
Yeah, beat Fulham, didn't they?
Yeah.
Beat Fulham, 3-1. Scored at Everton, scored 3 against Liverpool, but their away form's, their away form's pretty poor. That's the first goal they've scored away from home in 4.
I gotta go for West Brom. It is definitely a must. I tell you what, if they got beat, what's your managerial stakes?
I think he's the favourite. I think he's odds on, but let me just have a quick check of that. He was a slight touch of odds on earlier in the week. He's second favourite now. No manager to leave has gone favourite at 6-4, and Pepe Mel's now 13-8.
I think they'll win, actually. I do think they'll win.
Yeah.
And I think they'll probably win to nothing, actually.
Could be a low scorer, this, Derek, judging by the away form and West Brom's inability to score.
2-0 would be my take.
2-0 is 15-2.
Yeah, you say that, but in 2 of their last 3 games, Cardiff have scored 3 goals. they conceded 6 against Liverpool. It comes down to this: West Brom are odds on, and they've only won 3 games at home. Yeah. So you don't back them. You just don't back them. So is it Cardiff or the draw? I think Cardiff have still got, even though they've only won away from home, their performances haven't been as bad as their results. I think they're due a win. I think that a win is in the offing for Cardiff, and I can't say the same about West Brom. If these teams both played at the best, I'd give Cardiff a squeaker winning it. 7-2 for me, I think it's too big. The Welshman for me.
Robbie, to be fair to West Brom, the home games, they've drawn with Everton, drawn with Liverpool, drawn with Chelsea, lost to Man U and drawn with Fulham in the last 5. So not all of those are terrible results, are they?
No, they're not. They're not, but you can't. I think West Brom will win, but you can't back them at their odds. I think West Brom will win, but I wouldn't be backing them.
Maybe try and find a well. Either try and find a way in or just swerve it. Crystal Palace versus Chelsea is the final game we'll look at. Palace are 9-1 to win at home, 11-4 the draw, and Chelsea are priced up at 4-9. Chelsea top, of course, a point clear of Liverpool, and need to keep winning because Man City have got those 2 games in hand. Palace 3 points above the drop zone, and they should, realistically, Chelsea should go there and win, but it might not be as easy as people are making out, or as those odds suggest, Ron, I suppose.
No, and you keep harking back to the game at the Villa, don't you?
Yes.
Yeah. I mean, there was a game, I can't think of the game recently, Crystal Palace were a little bit off the Pulis pace, if you like. Mm. You know, normally, whatever else, since he's been there, he's had his team up and at him.
Was it the Man United game, maybe, when they lost 2-0, maybe?
Was that the game where,
They kept him down till about the hour mark, and then United got two quick goals. That might be the one, I don't know.
Yeah, yeah. as I say, harking back to the Chelsea performance at Villa Park, where it looked as if they'd just thrown the shirts out and thought that would do it. It's one of them going to the game 9-1. If you're a Palace fan, you've got to back Palace, haven't you? You go back Palace fan. Once again, if all prices were even, we'd go for Chelsea. But if you're a Palace fan, the bet would be have a bet on them at 9-1.
Could you see Crystal Palace keeping Chelsea to a draw at half time, Robbie? Because the draw at half time, Chelsea win full time.
I think Chelsea first half, second half went overall and to nil.
Yeah, Chelsea, winning at half-time.
Chelsea!
Winning at half-time, winning at full-time is even money.
Yeah, I go that.
Obviously, it'd be a bit slightly bigger price if you go for Chelsea to win the first half and win the second half.
That's what I go for.
Oh, you want that one instead? Let me find that then while Derek's giving his thoughts on this one.
Yeah, I was just looking, Chelsea, the only team to score on the Will Hills website, it's at 19-20. But if you look further up, right to the top and under the upper stats, Chelsea to win to nil, which is the same thing, is 11-10. You're getting 11 to 10 there for something that should be below even money. And Chelsea will win to nil. Palace ain't going to score. Tony Pulis is trying to bore Palace to safety. They've only scored against Swansea in their last five games. It's getting them points, but it ain't winning any fans. And if they can't score against someone, they're obviously being beaten. And they're not going to score against Chelsea. And Chelsea will score against them. Chelsea to win to nil, 11-10. Could be my bet of the weekend.
Chelsea to win the first half. Chelsea to win the second half is 21-10.
Lee, my bet of the weekend will be Chelsea to win the first half, second half.
Well, hang on a minute. Derek was the only one to win his bet last week.
What did you have winning, Dale?
He had a 9-4 shot. It was Newcastle and Palace game, fewer than two goals.
Two bets?
Well, no, in the game.
Oh.
It was a Newcastle v Palace game, fewer than two goals, 9-4, and it was 1-0. In fact, you called the score right in that game, Robbie, if you remember rightly. It said 1-0. I think you're about 35 quid behind, Robbie.
Oh, God, then I'm going to have to go for something then. I was going to go for
We've got about nine
games
left,
I'm going to go. I'm going to go Chelsea to win both halves. What's that odds?
That was 21-10.
That's a good
bet. Do you want the Chelsea game, Derek? Because you've got first dibs.
No, it's all right. No, I'm going to go for... I was going to go for Tottenham and the draw at Liverpool. At something like 6-4, 13-8. But I need more than that. So I'm going to go for Tottenham 6-1 to beat Liverpool.
Tottenham 6-1.
I was going to have that.
Were you on?
No.
that's too short for you, Ron.
Yeah, I'm going to...
What are you going for?
I'm trying to think of something that brings me... 500-1.
Tottenham to win 5-0, reverse the scoreline.
Who's that?
Tottenham to win 5-0 at Liverpool.
Yeah.
That's got to be about that.
What was the one? Was it Villa to win and both teams to score 10-1? You fancy Man United to edge that, don't you, Ron, really?
Yeah. I tell you what, West Brom to win 2-0.
West Brom to win. Is that your dog there, Robbie?
Snoring.
Listen to that. Hang on, listen to the dog snoring.
Listen. Hang on.
And you can double that.
To be fair, Coco's all right as well.
If they don't, if they get beat, then I'll have the same bet on Pell Mell not picking the team.
2-0, you said, wasn't it? 15-2. 2-0 West Brom, 15-2. Very good. Thank you, chaps.
Pleasure.
We'll speak next week.
Okay.
See you, bye.
Cheers, Ron. Cheers,
bye.
Ron. Cheers, Derek.
Bye.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.